US libraries can continue to offer unrestricted access to the wealth of information on the internet without having to install filtering software to block out porn. That much is clear from a definitive 159-page federal court ruling on Friday that threw out Congress's latest attempt to protect kids online. It would have required libraries that receive federal funding to provide filters on computers offering internet access starting on the 1st of July. But while free speech advocates applaud the ruling, many legislators, parents, and even some librarians are scratching their heads about acceptable ways to keep kids from online porn. The digital divide separating the internet savvy from the unplugged is still a cause for concern in the United States, and their government should consider subsidizing access, consumer groups said on Thursday. Despite the fact that two-thirds of Americans now have access to the internet, many less affluent households run the risk of being shut out of the digital economy because they are less likely to go online, according to a report sponsored by several consumer groups. The U.S. government should reinstate technology grant programs which have been proposed for elimination in 2003 and should consider subsidizing access for low-income and hard-to-reach households, the report said. Concerns over a digital divide first surfaced shortly after the internet began reaching a mass audience in the mid-1990s, as surveys showed that internet users tended to be affluent and white. Recent figures have shown that gap subsiding as more Americans go online. As of September 2001, 66% of the population used the internet, with access growing fastest among households earning less than $15,000 a year, according to figures prepared by the U.S. Department of Commerce. The same report found that racial and ethnic gaps are narrowing as well, but households earning more than $50,000 a year are still three times as likely to have internet access at home than households earning less than $25,000, the consumer groups pointed out. More affluent households are also more likely to have signed up for high-speed access, the report noted. According to the 2002 Status of Technology and Digitization report from the Institute of Museum and Library Services, IMLS, while nearly all academic libraries, 95%, and state library administrative agencies, 97% in the U.S., have websites, only 75% of public libraries and 62% of museums do as well. IMLS noted that although the number of museums with funding for technology is large at 80%, there are notably less than the amount of academic libraries and state library administrative agencies with such funding, 100% respectively. There could be revenue potential for more museums to develop a presence online. In 2001, the Travel Industry Association determined that 33% of online travelers purchased tickets for museums, festivals, or sporting events online in 2000. The European Parliament has voted for legislation to ban junk email and to protect the privacy of web surfers. Member states are expected to adopt the directive, which will cover text messages and other electronic messages received on mobiles or fixed devices by the end of next year. An opt-in system where consumers must tick a box saying they want to receive marketing email will replace the current opt-out process. The directive is an attempt to combat the growing problem of spam. Over a third of all messages received in corporate networks are unsolicited commercial email, according to analysts Gartner Group. But the legislation has been slammed for not tackling the problem of email sent outside the European Union. Most spam affecting EU companies comes from outside the EU, but those individuals or companies will not be bound by the new law. E-commerce companies also got a boost from the law, which rejected proposals to introduce tough restrictions on the use of cookies on websites. MEPs had wanted to classify cookies as spyware and insisted last year that surfers must be able to give explicit consent before a website's cookie could be stored on their PC. But under the new directive, cookies can be used to collect valuable marketing data, providing the consumer is given adequate information before using the website. UK organisation the Interactive Advertising Bureau, IAB, had feared that the restrictive measure could cost UK companies in excess of £187 million a year and cause major disruption to the growth of e-commerce. The UK is still one of the worst places for broadband in the world, despite falling prices for high-speed internet access. A report from the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, puts the UK at number 22 out of the 30 richest nations for broadband take-up. The UK hasn't moved position since the last OECD study in October, says the report, leaked to the technology news Weekly Computing. It could prove embarrassing for the UK government, which has pledged to make the UK the best place in the Western world for broadband services by 2005. A spokesperson for the Department of Trade and Industry said they wouldn't comment on the report until its official publication later this year, but added that the true picture might not be represented. But according to the latest report from the European Competitive Telecommunications Association, ECTA, the UK is still lagging behind its European neighbours, coming in 6 out of 15 for ADSL connections. But when the number of connections per population is taken into account, the UK falls to 12th place. Rockets are supposed to begin lifting off in 2006 to carry 30 European satellites into orbit. The satellites will emit signals that will allow people with receivers, such as drivers, sailors, rescue workers and pilots, for example, to determine their precise locations on Earth. It's similar to what the US Global Positioning System already does, and the pending launch of a rival system is fueling a new transatlantic dispute. US officials have called Europe's $3.2 billion Galileo project wasteful, and say Europe could better spend the money upgrading its armed forces. But European governments argue that Galileo is crucial to the future of their high-tech industries and to loosen their dependence on the United States. Transportation ministers of the 15 European Union countries approved the project in March of this year, and now the US and EU officials are meeting to see whether they can make the systems compatible and ensure a standard receiving unit could be used for both systems. Objections to Galileo stem in part from long-time US claims that Europe doesn't pay its fair share of defense costs. But the satellite project could also become a classic trade dispute if it concludes that US companies are being unfairly shut out of Galileo-related business. By 2005, Europe should have modern e-government and e-health services and widespread broadband access at competitive prices, the European Commission said as it unveiled its E-Europe 2005 action plan. The Commission said the plan includes encouraging high-speed internet access, a secure information infrastructure, and e-business across the region in hopes of translating this into improved economic productivity and more accessible services for all European citizens. Europe 2005 is a crucial step towards the Lisbon goal of turning Europe into the world's most competitive dynamic dot-com-based economy by 2010, said Enterprise and the Information Society Commissioner Erkki Laikkanen. He added that the Commission needs to encourage other forms of internet access than simply via computers, such as digital television, DTV, and 3G mobile phones. The plan sets out the establishment of a cybersecurity task force, activities in less favoured regions, and the targeted use of purchasing power by public authorities as a way to advance the rollout of infrastructure and create new services. The Commission also expects to place more emphasis on identifying and promoting good practices with structural funds and an e-learning program, and to use the goals set out in the action plan as a basis for EU candidate countries starting in 2004. An alleged Australian spammer is suing an anti-spam advocate after being blacklisted by a spam prevention website in what's believed to be a first-of-its-kind case worldwide and one that could end up bigger than Ben-Hur, according to a source close to the proceedings. Perth-based T3 Direct is seeking compensation of $43,750 from Joseph McNichol, whom it alleges caused the company to be blacklisted on the spews.org website. Blacklist sites distribute lists of Internet Protocol or IP addresses online that are believed to be involved in spamming activities, enabling end users to block traffic from such IP addresses. Because other blacklist sites have been sued and shut down, SPEWS, which stands for Spam Prevention Early Warning System, operates in secret, with no listed contact details. It is a not-for-profit organisation. A writ of summons was filed against McNichol on May the 24th, upon receipt of which he was given 10 days to confirm his awareness of the charges. T3 is seeking loss and damages of $14,000 for replacing blocked or compromised IP numbers, $4,750 for labour costs of technicians to establish an alternative email system, $5,000 to purchase a new server computer, and $20,000 for loss of income it claims to have incurred over a 20-day waiting period for a new internet connection to be installed. Jeremy Malcolm, an independent Perth-based solicitor who specialises in IT law and is representing McNichol, said he wouldn't be putting in a defence straight away and would be applying for a summary judgment in the hopes of not having to go to trial. Malcolm describes the statement of claim against his client as a fairly weak claim brought about to intimidate a critic of T3 Direct. In its latest attempt to halt music piracy, a consortium of music industry groups, including the labels, songwriters, and music publishers, filed a lawsuit against American file-sharing internet service AudioGalaxy.com. The Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA, a powerful trade association for the music labels, and the National Music Publishers Association, NMPA, filed the suit on Friday in a New York federal court. The suit alleges AudioGalaxy.com, based in Austin, Texas, willfully and intentionally encourages and facilitates millions of individual anonymous users to copy and distribute infringing copyrighted works by the millions, if not billions. The RIAA, on behalf of the labels, has waged a series of legal battles against a crop of online file swapping services which users have exploited to trade all manner of copyrighted materials from music to movies and software programs. The record industry blames the rise of such services for encouraging consumers to conduct a massive trade in recorded music, a phenomenon they claim is eating into sales. The RIAA has cases pending against similar services, including Grokster, Morpheus, Music City, Kazaa, and its owner Streamcast Networks. The industry's most successful legal thrust grounded the original peer-to-peer song-swapping network Napster, now controlled by Bertelsmann AG. Among the artists whose works are traded on AudioGalaxy include Celine Dion, Madonna, Destiny's Child, and the Dave Matthews Band, the suit alleges. The RIAA said AudioGalaxy has ignored numerous warnings to halt the trade of copyright-protected music by its users. And finally, controversial new controls on the internet in Turkey have provoked protests from websites which fear they may be driven out of existence. The new measures are part of a wide-ranging broadcasting law which places the internet under the same legislation as the rest of Turkey's media for libel and an offence called lying news. Under the new law, websites could face having to be officially registered and send copies of their material to the authorities. The measures have been condemned by much of the internet sector, from service providers to users, who warn that the whole future of the net in Turkey could be at stake. And that's News Briefs for this week.